Hi, everybody, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today here on this podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about a couple of different things. Hopefully, I'm able to put it all together as one, but I thought it would kind of piggyback off of last week's talk about the 3, 4, 5 clairs that we actually have. So last week, we spoke about clairaudience, which is the ability to hear and see. We spoke about claircognizance, the ability to just know something. Clairsentience, which is the ability to feel and sense spirits. And of course, our favorite is clairvoyance, the ability to see spirits, or at least beyond the veil of this world. So we spent pretty much the half hour identifying what those are, those abilities, and you know, what are telltale signs that you might have one or the other. Now, I did briefly bring up one little topic that needed an entirely separate podcast, which is what I'm kind of going to kind of do today, which is talking about the chakras. I feel in my gut that most of you who are listening to this podcast today already know all of this, but hopefully I'll be able to give you some information that maybe you didn't hear before regarding the chakras. But first, let's identify what they are and why it's really important to talk about all of this. Okay, so for most of you who know, and for newcomers who don't know, the chakras are essentially, chakra is a Sanskrit word that means wheel. It's like a wheel or disc that's housed inside of the body. And when I say the body, I always, in this sense, I'm kind of referring to the spiritual body, if you will. So the chakras are discs of energy that we have within the spiritual body that each one of us has walking here on this planet. And there are 7, but really there are way more. But for today, there are 7, just for the sake of ease and understanding. If you kind of look at the human body, it is in itself an electrical system, and it is an energetic system as well. But from more of a spiritual way of looking at the human body, it also does contain, like, let's say, energetic layers that are not necessarily seen with the naked eye, but with the inner eye. And for, I would say, gurus or those who are well skilled and practiced, or practitioners, excuse me, they're able to really see these energy centers that are aligned within the spiritual body. So, as I said earlier, for today's discussion, we only have 7 chakras within the body. And I'm going to start from the bottom all the way up and let you know where they can be found, you know, in the spiritual body or on the body, and explain to you their purpose, what they're, you know, what's housed within each disc, and why it's important to our abilities and the development of our abilities in general. So let's talk about the bottom, the root chakra. So again, this disc is housing very particular types of information. It has, I guess you could say, an informative imprint through time, almost like we leave our carbon imprint here on the earth as we're walking along the earth through our time. So the root chakra is usually identified as a red disc sitting essentially at the base of the spine. It looks exactly as I'm saying. It's a red energetic disc that houses information that's built up over a 7-year period. I would even say it's continuously expanding and contracting depending upon what's happening in your life in general. But the root, if you do your own research, most of us know that the root is the grounding disc. It's reflective of all concerns of being on this planet, essentially. It's concerns of manifestation, safety, being able to create, essentially, what you want. Financial matters, like worries about money, really sit in this chakra. And usually, most of us, our understandings about money and safety and being able to succeed here on Earth are built up usually during our I would say formative years when we're young, right? Our understanding of how to be and survive in this world kind of are created through watching our parents, right? And also through our experiences. So those belief systems are kind of set in stone during, I would say, not just the 7 years, but mainly probably the first 7 years of our lives. So again, the root chakra is a red disc. And if you are meditating, because most people can see colors while they're meditating, right? Usually you'll see purple, green, you know, blue, yellow, red, orange, right? The color of the rainbow. If you can see red within, let's say, your mind's eye while you're meditating, it might mean that your root chakra is pretty healthy. It's open, it's spinning, because for some people, depending upon, I guess, your own energetic system, the chakras do actually spin clockwise. But I have read personally that some spin clockwise and some spin counterclockwise. So I think it's just, you would have to take it on a case by case basis to assess what direction is really appropriate for you. But when we talk about this chakra, let's say you're meditating and you don't really see it, it could mean that you're having issues with that chakra. It could mean that you need to clean it out. You need to balance it or really work on the issues that you have that are associated with that chakra to kind of get it going again, right? So for example, if it's your root chakra, let's say you have issues of survival, money, most of us do, at least the beliefs surrounding that, it might be a call to help you be more aware that you do have these issues and that they need to be addressed on the surface or more beyond the surface. They need to be addressed in general, and spending some time thinking about the root of your belief system regarding, let's say, again, money and safety and your ability to just do well here while on the planet in general. You might want to do some self-examination for that. Now, we're going to move up to the remaining chakras, but I am going to give you some tips at the end in terms of clearing these out. Okay, so let us move up to the sacral chakra. It's a few inches above the root chakra. It's an orange disc, and again, it might spin counterclockwise for some people and clockwise for others. It really just depends. I've really noticed that for some of mine, I tried, because when I first started studying, I was told that they're all supposed to spin in the same direction. But some of mine really refuse. They're like, no, we go in the other way. So whatever is right for you, no one can tell you if it's right or wrong. You just know what's beneficial for you. So the second chakra in the body is an orange disc. It's a sacral chakra. It's below the belly button. And within the sacral chakra itself, as we kind of know, depending upon where it is on the body, and we see where it is associated with your emotions, with creativity, and with your beliefs about sexuality as well. So again, if you are meditating and you're unable to see the color orange, let's say, for example, when you're trying to open this up or bring your attention to that chakra to kind of tap into, let's say, maybe your sexuality or maybe feeling more free about your sexuality or exploring your emotions or maybe just trying to be more of an empathetic person. If you're unable to, let's say, see the color orange in meditation, then again, you might have problems associated with that chakra and you might want to do some deep exploration with some of those things. So if there are issues with you being too emotional and wanting to kind of rein that in, that would be doing some work in that area would be helpful. If you are trying to flex your creative muscles and bring a project to life, this is a good chakra to work with. So we're going to move up now to the solar plexus chakra, and it's in the center of your body. It's above the belly button. It is a yellow disc. And again, it may spin clockwise or counterclockwise for you. I feel like the solar plexus chakra, this yellow disc, for me, I would say has been a challenge to see this chakra in meditation forever. Since I started practicing, I can't say I don't know why. I do know why, but I've noticed that certain colors are more prominent while I'm meditating and have consistently been so ever since. So I just want to state right here, if there are certain, because I should state this, if there are certain colors that are related to certain chakras you've been trying to work on and you can't see them, sometimes I really feel like maybe we just can't see them. I don't know what that is. For some people can see themselves lit up like a freaking rainbow. I am not that person. And others can, you know, can only see certain colors. So it's completely fine. It doesn't mean that you're, deficient in any kind of way. It just means maybe work on that chakra or work on some of those issues related to that chakra in general. So your solar plexus is a bright yellow disc. And I feel like this is a very important, they're all very important chakras, but to me, your solar plexus is the seat of your power. It's the seat of your strength. It's your gut feelings, your gut knowing about something, right? It's the seat where your clairsentience essentially sits, because it can feel and it sense it, and it can sense when things are off or things are good. So, I also know, just to give you some more information about this chakra, it also houses your sense of self-esteem, your sense of empowerment, as well. So I feel like it's a very important chakra to work on, because we're constantly bombarded with situations that would challenge us feeling empowered to do just anything in life in general. But also we're also, I think, you know, in modern society, we're bombarded with, a lot of images that would force us, that maybe cause us, excuse me, to feel less than, right? And less equipped to like perform well in this world. And I think that that hits at our self-esteem. And again, when our self-esteem is kind of damaged, it affects everything else. So I think that the solar plexus is incredibly, incredibly powerful, right? It gives you kind of that second wind to keep going. Now, as I said before, if you're not seeing this color in meditation, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything going for you. It doesn't mean that you're not strong. It doesn't mean that your self-esteem is bad. It doesn't mean that you're not empowered at all. It just might mean that it might, and that's the operative word here, is that there are certain issues that are related to this chakra that need to be brought forth to your attention. So it's worth the exploration itself, right? All right, so now we're going to move all the way up to the green disc sitting in the center of your chest, which is the heart chakra. Of course, most of us would think of this disc as a pink disc, but and for some, it will come up as a pink disc. But for others, and for our sake of talking about standardization when it comes to recognizing the chakras, it's a green disc sitting in the center of your chest. And again, this, I would say that the heart chakra is obviously well known for love, giving and receiving love sits in this chakra. Also, it's the seat of forgiveness. And it is, to me, the seat of acceptance and even the seat of surrender, which is so hard. All of those collectively, I feel like in life there's so many trials and tribulations. And I think that this chakra for most of us needs the most work, primarily because we're in situations where people may disappoint us constantly, may let us down and betray us. And that, I feel like, sits like a darkness sometimes in our heart. And being unable to forgive people for certain situations is really a block, you know, for most of us. And it can also be a block to the abilities. So in terms of the heart chakra, one thing that I really need to say, and I don't want to forget, is that your heart chakra is going to be the gateway chakra. This means that it connects the lower chakras and the upper chakras to the upper half of the body. Now, it is the gateway chakra primarily, not only because it connects the two, but also it is extremely important to work on this chakra and keep it open and clear, because you are going to have a much more challenging time opening up your intuitive abilities and opening and using your gifts if your heart chakra is blocked. Now, I'm sure for some of you, you're thinking, what is that for real? Because we see other intuitives who might be greedy, selfish, callous, cold, manipulative. Yes, we do see that. But as I have been taught from my own guide, is that, you know, before I could even continue, I don't want to use the word continue, before I could do this work fully, I was taught that that was the first thing I had to work on. There was a lot of forgiveness of others, but primarily forgiveness of myself for having made certain decisions and for having been reactive to certain people and situations. So it is the chakra where God, your higher power, where it speaks, where your intuitive self even speaks, where the angels speak. I remember one time I was having a conversation with the angels and I was so frustrated, believe it or not. And I was having such a hard time hearing them and I got so mad. And they told me, you know, whenever you feel like you can't hear us, you know, listen to your heart because that's where the messages will be. And I've never forgotten that. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in situations where I just can't see a way out or I need some perspective, you know, to see things differently, I do have to drop into that heart space. For me, literally, that means like literally putting my head down and trying to listen to the messages coming directly from my heart. And, you know, I think that every chakra does have a voice. And I think learning to work with them is kind of crucial to this work. I know it's easy to kind of sweep it under the rug and just have surface knowledge of it. But truthfully, practicing with certain, I think, voices of each chakra will help you to have a better understanding of yourself, your body, and your mind. And the other thing I should state is that the voice of your chakra is not going to be the voice of your mind. And there's a very clear indicator of who's speaking, right? So let's say you're having a problem and you would like some solutions. It would be nice for you to drop into your heart chakra to get some answers, to get some help. If the answers are feeding off of fear and are fear-based, then you know that it's the fear-based self of your mind that's speaking. But if it's loving and giving you a boost and a very different perspective to help you see things differently and to understand things differently in a peaceful way, then you know it's really coming primarily from the guidance of your heart, which is always going to be the guidance of God, all that is angels, the collective, if you will, above, okay? So I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but the heart chakra is so important because as above, so below. So if you look at the, the symbol that is utilized for the heart chakra, it is the two pyramids, that one is up and one is down and they're intertwined. And it means, you know, it's connecting essentially the upper and the lower. And I think that that's very important because again, it is the gateway between the two, heaven and earth. Okay. So keep this one clear, focus on this one a lot, heal it, do what you have to do, but also don't put too much pressure on yourself. We're human and we're always experiencing a lot of different emotions all the time. Okay, so let's move all the way up now to the throat chakra. And for some reason, I feel like for the past few months, I've really been forgetting the chakra. I'll do them all and I'm like, oh yeah, there's one more. It's the blue throat chakra. I'm going to give you a story with this chakra too. So the throat chakra literally sits in the center of your throat. It's a light blue disc. It may spin clockwise or counterclockwise. Something else I forgot to mention is that sometimes some people hear their disc spinning. Like they can hear them like a wheel that's being cranked. And some of them may sound rusty. Some may be whirling at a really fast pace. Some of people can really hear them. I have never heard mine, but when I try to move one of them sometimes and it's not moving, I'm like, oh crap. Well, all right. What can I do? So just know that your experience again is your experience of it. And just make sure you have a journal and write down your experiences because chances are they're not going to be like mine or someone else's. They're specific for your own reason. Okay. It doesn't mean that yours is, you know, less special than someone else's. All right. So moving to the light blue throat chakra sits in the throat. It does house all of your communication, your comfortability when it comes to speaking, expressing your thoughts, expressing your emotions as well. Even your fear of public speaking sits in this space, all your fears too. So this chakra is important because this chakra, dun, 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 is the key to your clairaudience. It's the key to your ability to hear all the great and not so great spirits, as has been my experience. So when this chakra is open, you will be hearing everything. And like I said last time, it's a good experience because it's like a flood of information that you'll be able to access. It's a library of everything that you wanted to know. You'll be able to hear it at your fingertips. But at the same time, there's a lot maybe sometimes you don't want to know. And I think at times for me, silence has been golden. But your throat chakra, if you have issues of public speaking, like I think most of us do, believe it or not, I'm also one of those. Working on the chakra is very important. Being able to express yourself in all types of situations and in front of one person and a large audience is extremely important. I feel like that the throat chakra is really linked to the solar plexus in this way because it's linked to feeling either confident or not feeling confident in your ability to express yourself in a situation where, you know, people you might think are judging you or whatever. So I always advise people to work on the throat and try to feel a sense of empowerment when you're speaking. I mean, we all were given a voice for a reason, and self-expression is incredibly important. Now, a telltale sign that you might be having issues with your throat chakra, having a recurrence of sore throats, it's because you're not speaking up. I noticed that I was starting to have some serious issues about 5 or 7 years ago. And slowly, and I do stress the word slowly, starting to feel a little bit better about speaking in front of people. I noticed that I wasn't having as many sore throats. If you are on the opposite end of the spectrum and you speak your mind no matter where you are, in front of who, regardless of the situation, whether it's a good time or bad time, you also might be prone to extremely sore throats. So it falls on both ends. And this means that you need to kind of work on reining in that self-expression, or you really need to learn how to feel comfortable expressing yourself. All right. Now moving up to the brow chakra, the third eye chakra sits in exactly the area you think it's in. The center, it's at the center of your forehead. Let's put it like that. It's not right in between the eyebrows. It's the center of your forehead. So it's called the brow or third eye. This is an indigo colored disc. And again, it may spin clockwise. It may spin counterclockwise for some people. For me in general, my experience with this chakra, because it does house your ability to see, it's the seat of your clairvoyance to see past the veil of this world, right? To see your spirit guides, angels, in whatever form. Some people see full-bodied forms. Some people see orbs. We're all different in that way. Some people truly just see lines and threads and balls of energy. I mean, it's pretty interesting when you start doing research in terms of what the third eye can see and can access. It also can access past life information. So it's a pretty powerful gem that most of us want open for many reasons, right? Myself included. So a telltale sign that your third eye is opening, let's say this chakra is open, is feeling a pulse in the center of your forehead. Is feeling some sort of throbbing sensation. Know that it's working on opening up. It's like open, open, open. Feeling a tingling sensation in the forehead is also a good sign. Beginning to see when you're in a meditation, a really dark indigo color is also a good indication that this is opening up for you slowly. Like the veil is kind of thinning between your sight here in the third dimension, being able to see into other dimensions essentially. I know everybody wants to know, how do I open it? How do I open it? it's complicated because I think that for some people, obviously it's natural. It's what you came with. Others, we have to really work on it. I had to work excessively on it, but at the same time, it wasn't necessarily something that I really cared to have because I was really appreciative of my hearing. So I didn't really want to focus on it, but I was told it was a skill I had to learn to develop. A lot of it's through meditation. You guys hear this all the time. There is no way around it. It's making time to really tap in and tune in to exercise that muscle with exercises, actually, with practical meditative games, I think are useful to kind of force yourself into that space and force yourself to opening up that chakra. In terms of healing it, I do recommend sending a lot of, I was going to talk about this at the end, so maybe I'll hold off until the end. So let's just go ahead and move on past the bra chakra. So if we move up to the top of the head, there is a chakra up there. It's violet or white, in color, and it is the crown chakra. So it's sitting at the crown of the head, and it's pretty expansive. I wouldn't say it's this tiny little dot sitting up there. I think it encompasses a lot of space around you for the crown. Your crown is constantly accessing information all the time. It is also, I would say, the gateway to being able to channel, the same way that your heart is also the gateway of being able to channel and access information from above. It is the source of all that spiritual information that you've been accessing. And it's the seed of knowledge, essentially, right? The seed of being able to acquire information, earthly information, but also information from celestial realms. One thing I think I've recently been learning, and I've been kind of unsuccessfully working with my spirit guide about trying to discern this, because he keeps showing me something in the past like 6 months, and I think I'm finally starting to have a little bit of a breakthrough, is that for those intuitives who are natural mediums, where just deceased spirits kind of gravitate towards you a lot, and are trying to like get your attention to give you information to share with a deceased loved one, believe it or not, I am under the belief, and I should probably do more research about this, that the information that they're trying to share with you and the energy that they have is actually absorbed through your crown chakra, which is interesting to me, because I've never thought about anything like that at all. But I have noticed that lately, over the past 6 months, my spirit guide has been on an endless journey for me to clear my crown chakra every time I come home from having been out and about. And I know I had a friend of mine who read for me and was like, you know, you picked up a ton of information today, or a ton of energy that's not yours, from the deceased, that you need to clear because it's stuck there. Have you been feeling off? You know, and so I think that the crown is also a seat that absorbs all of that type of energy, which is interesting, because I guess I just never thought about deceased information, deceased energy lingering. I mean, I know it lingers with some of us, we carry it home, but just where it sits in the energetic system, I guess it never really occurred to me to clear the crown. And I think that's what my guide has been getting at unsuccessfully. I think he's probably like drinking every day now because I'm stressing him out relentlessly. Anyway, so your crown chakra, it's really the seat of spiritual expansion as well. Obviously, the heart will always be that, but everything is connected. So if you're trying to heal one aspect, know that you got to work on the other ones too, because you don't want any kind of imbalance. So if we go back and talk about the clairs like we did last week, where are these found in this energetic system? So again, as I said, clairvoyance is sitting in the third eye, the brow chakra. The claircognizance is up in the crown chakra, the ability to just know what you know without being able to explain it. The clairsentience is sitting right there in the solar plexus. And the clairaudience is sitting actually in the throat chakra. So your ability to hear spirits is right there. And I'm going to share a little story with you and then give you guys some tips at the end of this. So a small story, when I started to really work on understanding what the hell was happening to me with all these spirits talking to me all the time, I will never forget a very profound experience that I had, because I have not had it since. And I wish I could get it back, but I have learned it's been a very difficult experience, that at the beginning of your journey, it's as if your guides and angels are throwing everything at you, and there's synchronicity everywhere, and it's just unbelievable experiences. And then down the line, it's like nothing else happens again. So really, relish the experiences when they do occur. So at the beginning of all of this, I remember one time it wasn't deliberate. It was not deliberate at all. I was really upset about having made a decision I thought was poor. And I was so confused at that point in my life. And I was sitting there just talking out loud like I normally do. And I think I cried. And when I stopped, I remember asking, like, was this a bad decision? Why is this happening? And I'll never forget that all of a sudden, it's like my eyes were closed and the room turned sky blue. The whole room, my eyes were closed. It was sky blue. And then I heard someone talk to me, have this very long conversation with me. I will never forget that experience because to me, I know now that my throat chakra was so wide open. I could hear everything. I could hear so well and so clearly. So all of this is connected. It was a validation later when I learned about chakras, like a year later. But this is just to me a reminder that yes, this energetic system is real, that yes, we do have to actively work on things, that there's a lot more than what we see with the naked eye. And yes, your psychic powers, if you will, they are available, and that you can use them to help other people and help yourself as well. And they are not otherworldly. They are not supernatural. It's that they are natural, that we all have something, right, that has been given to us to be of help to others and, of course, to help ourselves as well. So in terms of clearing these chakras, it's important to always try to clear them as often as possible because we're human and we have experiences and we have pain and sorrow and anger and frustration, and we have a lot of fears because a lot of us have experienced a lot of lack in our lives, right? So our sense of lack in whatever department, whatever belief system we have, is going to affect the ability of our abilities to come forth and just for them to grow in general. So in terms of clearing them, I'm just going to tell you what I do, and then I'm going to tell you what I've heard that you can do. So for me, I always do a white light meditation. And for those of you who are really new to this, God, I should do a whole separate I really do need to do a whole separate podcast on this. So just to give you very surface knowledge of this, energy does exist in all forms. Energy does vibrate at a certain rate. And depending upon its rate of vibration, it vibrates to a certain color. So if you think about it, we have, as I just spoke about in the body, we have the seven chakras, which are reflective. Each chakra is reflective of a different color, which to me means that it vibrates at a very, or it spins at a very different rate. Okay. So as we know, the red one is more dense, so it's not spinning as fast as, let's say, the yellow, the green, the blue, you know, indigo, and then violet, white, purple. So from our metaphysical understanding, white light is the purest and cleanest form of energy to a certain extent. It does have its function, and in my mind, I always see it working through each chakra, clearing it out. And then I see all the blocks being removed and I replace it in my mind. Of course, this is all through imagination, right? That's our superpower. I clear it all out and then I see someone come into the vacuum and pull out all the dark spots and then replace it with the color that needs to be there. So for me, doing a white light meditation has always been the most effective way of clearing them. Also, you can do... Some people utilize crystals, and I'm going to have a whole episode dedicated to crystals for doing crystal work to place on the spots of the body where your chakras are and just try to clear them out that way as well. Some people do meditation with drumming. People sing. It's just very specific to how you like to work and whatever is the most effective methodology for you. But like I said, for me, the best is white light. I'm trying to think. Essential oils, aromatherapy is also really effective. I know that there's so much that we can go on and on and on about, but I'm trying to keep it very, very simple, just to have the basic understanding of what they are and the fact that they are important for the development of your abilities at large, but also just for overall, like health and well-being, because we all carry issues with us from our youth, but also from adulthood too, right? Because life is unpredictable, life can be hard and uncertain, and there's so much fear here, unfortunately, but that's kind of the experience that most of us have. To say we don't is a little bit delusional and disingenuous. So taking some time to work on these chakras, I think, is helpful. Also, like I said, trying to listen to your chakras to get to the root of a problem is probably very good practice. You can sit down and write, and I know this sounds so crazy, but write to each chakra about what the problem is and what your fears are associated with that chakra, and then try to listen to see if there's a response, and then write that out. And then look at the two, your fears as opposed to the response, and you'll be able to hear who's speaking back, right? So I feel like those are kind of the best ways to learn to heal those chakras. But remember, it's a complete system. So in order for you to have more stability regarding your abilities, you need to kind of consistently work on cleaning out this system, because it needs to be a clear channel to receive, right? Constantly, because you're the receiver here on earth, right? So you're receiving the messages. You need to be fine-tuned to be able to receive, which means you need to be clear, like a clear antenna to be able to pick up, whether it's through hearing, through seeing, through feeling, sensing, and even through the knowing. In terms of other tips and tricks, you can actually eat certain types of foods to clear your chakras. I believe that has been helpful if you just find the food color that's associated with the color of the chakra. I've been told that that's also an effective strategy, and yes, I think that that's good. I'm trying to like keep this very simple today, but I hope this has been a very helpful talk. I plan to expand more on this as we move along, but it's important for you to have the basics now, because we're going to be building on top of them, moving further and further along, and you need a reference point in terms of when I'm just spewing out all this information. So anyway, I hope everybody has a really great rest of your week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to connecting with you all soon. Take care.